Sutu uvacha Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasatim vyasam Tato jayam mudirayet Vedanti tat tatva vidas Tatvam yajjnanam advayam Prameti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate Srinvatang sokata krishnaha Punyakshravana kirtanaha Hridyantaksto yabhadrani vidhunoti suhritsatam Nashtaprayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Tadavrajastamo bhavaha kamalo bhadayaschaye Cheta etayarana vidhang stitang sattve prasidati Evang prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha Bhagavatatva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate Vidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva sangshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare ete chang shakalak pungshaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulang lokang mridayanti yuge yuge idang bhagavatang nama puranang brahma sammitam utama shloka charitang chakara bhagavan rishihi Nishreyasaya lokasya dhanyang swastyayanang mahat Krishne swadhamo bhagate dharma jnana dibhiksaha Kalo nashta drishamesha puranarko dunoditaha Tasmin sva ashrame vyaso badari sandamandite Asino upasprishya pranidadhyau manak swayam Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male Apashyat purushang purnang mayang chattadapashrayam Yaya samohito jiva atmanang trigunatmakam Paropi manute nartang tatkritang chapi padyate Anarto pashamang shakshad bhakti yogamad hokshache Lokasya janato vidvangs chakre sattvata sanghitam Uvacha atma ramascha munayo nirgranta apyurukrame kurvantyahaitu king bhaktim itang bhutagno harihi Shri Bhagavan uvacha ahamevasam evagre nanyad yad sarasatparam pascharahang yadetaccha yo vishishyeta sosmyaham ritertang yad pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyaratmano mayang yathabhaso yathatamaha Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tathanateshu nateshvaham jigyasyang tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyang yatsyat sarvatra sarvada Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from Canto 1, Chapter 10, which you have in your blue, light blue handout. Chapter 10, Canto 1, Chapter 10, and the verse is text 30. So I don't know what page it is on that in that book. Page 47. Etaha 49. Etaha parang. Stritvam apastapeshalang etak parang stritvam apastapeshalang nirasta shauchang batasadhu kurvate nirasta shauchang batasadhu kurvate Yasam Grihat Pushkara Lochanaha Patihi Yasam Grihat Pushkara Lochanak Patir Nanjatu Apaiti Aritipihi Ridhi Sprishan Najatva paitya hriti pir hriti sprishan. Najatva paitya hriti pir hriti sprishan. One more time, real slow. Najatva paitya hriti pir hriti Sprishan. So that when it najatu, the u at the end of jatu, because it's before a vowel, it's before a vowel, it's pronounced like va. So it then it goes najatva paiti, and the y or the e at the end of a paiti becomes ya, and it sort of blends into the next vowel yahritibhir. So jatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan eta parang stritvam apastupeshalam nirasta shauchang patasadhu kurvate yasang grihat pushkara lochanak patir najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan etak parang stritvam apastapeshalang nirasta shauchang patasadhu kurvate yasang grihat pushkara lochanak patir najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan etak parang stritvam apastapeshalam
nirastva saucham bata sadhu kurvate
nirastva saucham bata sadhu kurvate
yasam grihat pushkar lochana patir
yasam grihat pushkar lochana patir
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
eta param stritvam apastapeshalam
eta param stritvam apastapeshalam
nirasta shaucham bata sadhu kurvate
nirasta shaucham bata sadhu kurvate
yasam gruhat pushkar lochana pati
yasam grahat pushkar lochana pati
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
eta param stritvam
eta parang stritvam apastapeshalam
nirasta saucham bata sadhu kurvate
nirasta saucham bata sadhu kurvate
yasam grihat pushkara locha parchanak patir
yasam grihat pushkara locha nak patir
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan
eta param stritvam apastapeshalam
eta param stritvam apastapeshalam
nirasta saucham bata sadhu kurvate
nirasta saucham bata sadhu kurvate
yasam grihat puraskar lochanapatir
yasang grihat pushkar lochanapatir
najatyapi ahir bihir hridi sprishan
najatva paitya hritibhir hridi sprishan etaha
all these women
param
Hare Krishna
highest stritvam womanhood apastapeshalam without individuality. Nirasta, without. Shochang, purity. Bata sadhu, auspiciously glorified. Kurvate, do they make. Yasam, from whose. Grihat, homes. Pushkara lochanaha, the lotus eyed. Patihi, husband. Najatu, never at any time. Apaiti, goes away. Ahritibhihi, by presentation. Hridi, in the heart. Sprishan, endeared. Translation. All these women auspiciously glorified their lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. Their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. Please repeat. All these women auspiciously glorified their lives. Despite their being without individuality and without purity, their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are purified souls. As soon as the devotees surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord sincerely, the Lord accepts them, and thus the devotees at once become free from all material contaminations. Such devotees are above the three modes of material nature. There is no bodily disqualification of a devotee, just as there is no qualitative difference between Ganges water and the filthy drain water when they are amalgamated. Women, merchants, and laborers are not very intelligent, and thus it is very difficult for them to understand the science of God or to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. They are more materialistic, and less than them are the Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Kankas, Yavanas, Kassas, etc. But all of them can be delivered if they are properly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. By engagement in the service of the Lord, the designative disqualifications are removed, and as pure souls they become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. The fallen girls under the clutches of Bhomasura sincerely prayed to Lord Sri Krishna for their deliverance, and their sincerity of purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. The Lord therefore accepted them as His wives, and thus their lives became glorified. Such auspicious glorification was still more glorified when the Lord played with them as the most devoted husband. The Lord used to live with His 16,108 wives constantly. He expanded Himself into 16,108 plenary portions, and each and every one of them was the Lord Himself without deviation from the original personality. The Shruti mantra affirms that the Lord can expand Himself into many. As husband of so many wives, He pleased them all with presentations, even at a costly endeavor. He brought the Parijata flower plant from heaven and implanted it at the palace of Satyabhama, one of the principal queens. If, therefore, anyone desires the Lord to become one's husband, the Lord fulfills such desires in full. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Dinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnane Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Tvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Badambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namo maha vadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gauratvishe namaha. Panchatatvatmakam krishnang bhaktarupa swarupakam bhaktavatarang bhaktakyang namami bhakta shaktikam. He krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute. Jayatang surato pangor mama manda matergati matsarvasva padam bhojau radha madanamohano divyad vrindaranya kalpadrumadhak srimad ratnagara singhasanasto srimad radha srila govinda devo prashtali bhiksevyamana usmarami shriman rasara sarambhi vangshivatatatakstitaha karshan venus vanayar gopir gopinatak shriyestunaha tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari rishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vrindayai tulsidevyai priyayai keshavashyacha krishna bhakti prade devi satyavatyai namo namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma. Everyone has that? Naparadhi Chakashjana Parihare Pilajame King Bruve Purushottama Yuvatinang Yata Yuni Yunang Cha Yuvato Yata Manobhi Ramate Tadvan Manome Ramatang Twayi Bhumaus kalita padanang bhumireva valambanam tvai jata paradhanang tvameva sharanang prabho govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye tvamahang sada tvadiyang iti janatu govindo mang tvayasaha radhe vrindavanadhishe karunamrita vahini kripaya nija padabja dasyang mahyang pradiyatam vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhikshnasaha yasang harikatod gitam punati bhuvanatrayam nama shreshtang manumapi shachiputram atrasvarupang shri rupang tasyagrajamuru purim maturim voshtavatim radhakundam girivaram ahoradhika madhavasang prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi Adadanas trinang dantir ter idang yache punak punaha Srimad rupa padam bhoja rajohang syam bhave bhave Hantayam madrira bala haridasya bharyo Yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha Manang tanoti sahago ganayosta yuryat Paniya suya vasakandara kandamulahi Jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare All these women auspiciously glorified their lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. Their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. So the ladies of the Kuru dynasty from the top of the palaces in Hastinapur were watching Krishna leave Dwarka, and they were continuing their prayers, glorifying Krishna, then his abodes, then his family and his devotees, then the different people, and they're glorifying his wives. Particularly, they're referring to these 16,100 of Krishna's wives who had been kidnapped by a demon named Bhaumasura, and who also kidnapped, stole the earrings of Aditi and made this fortress on the side of took over a portion of Mount Meru that was supposed to belong to the demigods, and then Krishna came there at the request we discussed last time of Indra, and he defeated the demon for Indra, for the demigods. And then there were all these princesses that the demon had kidnapped, and they were being kept captive by him. And they longed for Krishna to become their husband, and Krishna so merciful that he became their husband. Because of their sincere desire. So normally, a man desires a woman who never was touched by any other man but him. in our modern civilization, they have illicit sex. Sex outside of marriage is prominent, and so this rule is less observed in this culture. Although it's still there sometimes. The jealousy, if a man hears about his wife had a previous boyfriend, he becomes angry and jealous. And similarly, the wife doesn't want to hear about the man's previous girlfriend or something, and she becomes jealous. But anyway, the principle in general is that the kumari, the wife, should be a maiden girl, a virgin girl, young girl who's given to a boy, and they marry. And she's the only one that he's the only one she's ever known in a sexual way or anything like that. So these girls that were kidnapped by Bhaumasura were considered inauspicious. They were without purity. It was considered like that by ordinary society. They would be considered to be fallen women who couldn't be eligible to be married. Although they were born in the family of kings and they were princesses and they should be able to have a husband who's a respectable, glorious prince somewhere, maybe have their own swayamvara and choose among different competing princes and things. But because they were unfortunately kidnapped by a demon, ordinarily they would have no prospects anymore, but they would be, even though the demon was killed, now they would be considered inauspicious widows or something, right? But they were devotees of Krishna, and by their devotion and their desire and their love for Krishna and their desire, when they saw how beautiful he was, immediately they wanted him as their husband. And because of that pure desire, and this shows how kind Krishna is, that he doesn't care for any of these conventions, but he accepted them because of their pure devotion. They were free from any kind of inauspiciousness ineligibility, and he accepted them as completely pure. And they became completely pure by their desire to be Krishna's wives. And he accepted them as his wives. And not only did he marry them, but what kind of husband was he? Did he just, then he married them and he left them alone? So I'm busy with affairs of state, and I'm the, you know, I have to run. The King Ingrasena is kind of old now, and I have to really show everyone how to do everything. But actually, because he can expand himself, he stayed with them and was a doting husband, and he brought them valuable presentations and always, you know, looked after their happiness, even to the extent of getting the Parijata flower from heaven and planting it in Satyabhama's palace. And one point we see here is how Krishna accepts pure devotion from anyone, regardless of their parent qualifications. And Prabhupada is talking here about how women merchants and laborers, Shriya Vaishyas Tata Shudras, right, they're considered less qualified than brahmanas and kshatriyas because of the kind of work they do, the occupation, their performance. Or they don't have the kind of intelligence to, you know, sort of logically parse all the scriptures and study them and understand the nuances and the subtle meanings and things. In general, this is the generally accepted external qualifications. But if they become pure devotees, Krishna says, then he accepts them. They come to him. Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi syuk papa yonaya striyo vaishyas tata shudras tepi yanti parangatim. Not only striyos vaishyas shudras, but also papa yonaya, which means those who are born outside of the Vedic system. At least in the Vedic system, there are shudras and, you know, vaishyas and women, and they're all within the civilized Aryan society. But also there's those outside of that society. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira kanka yavana kashadaya. There's a verse in the second canto. Nilesh is going to look up for us. But that all of them, by worshipping the all-powerful Vishnu, they become purified. That is, if devotional service doesn't require any birthright, any particular birthright. If one actually worships Krishna with all purity and all devotion in their heart, then they are considered better than the highest brahmanas. Go ahead.
Kirata hundreda pulinda pulkasa abhir shumbha yavana pasada ye anye cha papa yad apasraya shraya shuddhayanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Kirata hunna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhir Shumbha, Yavana, the members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to the sinful acts can be purified by taking the shelter of the devotee of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Sukadeva Goswami instructs Maharaj Parikshit.
So these are different Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha. They're different nationalities, groups of people that were outside of the ancient Vedic Aryan system. Kirata was a province in ancient India. Huna refers to Huns, I think. Prabhupada describes them as Russians and Germans. There was a tribe of, in the Roman history, in Western European history, there was this Roman Empire, and then there was these different people which were considered barbarians. They didn't have the great architecture, cultural civilization. They lived in as tribes, the Gentile tribes. I think Tacitus wrote about them, and they were sometimes glorified as being pure in a way because of their or they're sometimes glorified by communists and things as being pure because they didn't have this divided up society where there was all these hierarchies, but anybody who could do something with heroic and prowess could become a chieftain, whatever. But the Hunas were the Huns. Andhra is now, there's a modern province, Andhra Pradesh. There were Andhras in southern India. Pulindas were Greeks. And at one point, even the Greeks came to part of Sindh, and Alexander the Great came, and there was this. But even before that, there were, Greeks had their civilization. Homer, many thousand BC, 1200 BC or something like that. They say that. I mean, the historians have these different ideas. So the Pulkashas, the Abhiras. Yep. Jesus did what?
Is he Sabra?
Shabra?
No, Abhira.
Abhira. Is he Abhira?
Pulaksha and Abhira, these are all in the Old Testament.
I didn't know that. I don't know the Old Testament as well. So Abhira, so these words are there in the Old Testament,
yeah,
huh?
These are all different.
So is Abhira like Hebrews or something like that?
It's
you know, like they had Hittites and Philistines and... Yeah. And these different things like that. Like now they call it Palestine. It was Philistines, They were fighting the Hebrews back in, 500 BC or 1000 BC or whatever, or even more. So I don't know exactly. Yavanas, I think, are supposed to be Turks, and Khasa is supposed to be Mongolians, or Khasa. And like Khasa, the Turks also originated as Mongolians, right? I think these, Genghis Khan and those guys had come across. Anyway, all the mundane history is not so important. The important thing is that by devotional service to the Lord, someone becomes pure and they're no longer to be considered according to their birth or place of origin or like that. In the United States, they call it like this melting pot. People come from different cultures and they all work together and function together to make a bustling economy and so forth. And whether it's a melting pot or sometimes they say it's a vegetable soup, because people they don't have to assimilate too much, they can retain their own culture. But people are sensitive about that and they come up with ethnic slurs and different names for each group and they feel upset about it. And then there's this feeling that that's no good, people should get along and they should respect everybody. There's another way to really respect everybody is to bring them up to the actual pure standard of making them devotees. Prabhupada would mention that. Like in India, there were low castes that were mistreated by upper castes and by caste prejudice. So Harijans. So Gandhi would say, they should be considered, Harijans, the people of God, and therefore you can't despise them and revile them and abuse them because they're all God's people. And Prabhupada would say, yes, Harijans, but now what's the real purport of Harijan? That everyone should be actually trained to behave like the children of God and give up their bad habits and become pure. And then they really are Harijan. Otherwise, if they're not following Hari, What kind of Harijan are they? Not that Prabhupada wasn't promoting any kind of caste prejudice or race prejudice. In fact, he came to the foreigners and to Africa, to all over the world. Prabhupada came sent his devotees to China to make everyone all over the world, without any consideration of their qualification or disqualification, to make them real Harijans. It's not like, you know, Harijan, so you can't call a Brahmana a Harijan. Well, if he's not a Harijan, it's lower to be a Brahmin than to be truly a Harijan, right? It's not, if it becomes another designation, Harijan means a street sweeper or something, then it's lost its meaning. Harijan is actually the highest that we can aspire for. And so similarly, these girls, these princesses who were kidnapped by this demon, they would be, by material estimation, they would be considered, inauspicious, devoid of purity, low people, not fit for society. In the 19th century in England, you know, they had this, like, you had, I mean, if you read the novels of Jane Austen or something like that, you know, if some girl went out with some boy and stayed out overnight with some boy that she wasn't married to, then her reputation would be ruined, and then she couldn't be invited to any parties, right? They would have, you know, like, they would have a society where people would socialize with each other, and you had to come calling and leave your card with the butler, and the butler would go in and say, so-and-so is here. And if a girl had ever once in her life stayed out all night with a boy, then, you know, when you came and gave the card to the butler would come back and say, she's not in. You know, they're not in. And they couldn't come to any balls. They would be ruined in good society, so then they would have to go in the you know, sort of more common society. But this is like the higher, aspiring to be in the higher society that can eventually gets up to associate with the lords and ladies of the court, and then can associate with the king and stuff. Because of their pure devotion, these girls, these princesses who had lost their auspiciousness by being kidnapped by a demon and kept captive for some time, they were accepted by Krishna and as his wives. And not only as his wives, but then he was lovingly devoted and dedicated to them. And in the same way, Prabhupada is making the point that everyone can become accepted by Krishna if only they purely and sincerely surrender to him and devote themselves to him. Now, the corollary to that is that if they don't, then they can be considered. For example, Ramaharshana, Suta Goswami's father, he was a Suta. There were different kinds of marriages from different sections of society. So there were Anuloma, Pratiloma, I forget. Anyway, a Suta is a combination of Kshatriya and Brahmana, mother and father. And so there was a special caste of Sutas who were experts in the Puranas and in reciting the Puranas and stuff. So Ramaharshana was very expert. He was a disciple of Vyasadeva, and he'd studied all the Puranas, and he was an expert reciter. And the sages at Naimasharanya were doing this big sacrifice, preparing for the age of Kali, and they had installed Ramaharshan Sutta to be their guru and explain to them everything. And there was some demons coming and disturbing them. So anyway, Lord Balaram was going on pilgrimage at the time of the Kurukshetra battle. He didn't want to take part in the dispute between the Pandavas and Dhritarashtra's sons, and he was traveling on pilgrimage, and he came there to Naimasharanya, and all the assembled sages and everything stood up because the personality of Godhead had come into their midst. But Ramaharshana, having been seated on the Vyasasan, considered that, oh, I don't have to stand up because I'm in the position of Vyasadeva, who is respected by everyone as the personality of Godhead. He didn't stand up for Lord Baladev, and Baladev did not accept this as the as the proper principle of how to respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he took a piece of grass and he struck him with a piece of grass, and that caused him to lose his life, and he died. But before he struck him, Baladev was saying all kinds of things, and one thing he was saying is, you're not even from a good family. You're a Suta. And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that, if we don't act according to the rules and regulations of devotees. If we don't have, not so much the rules and regulations, but if we don't have real devotion in our heart, and if we do have devotion, we'll express that by following the rules and regulations. Like, we'll stand up when Krishna walks into the room, you know. If we don't act according to those rules and regulations, then we are apt to be considered according to our, you know, community as Pulkashas and Pulindas and Yavanas and Andras and whatever, you know. Sunny, did you have a comment?
You know, when we look in this, the ancient community, what happened somewhere or another, there is a syndrome developed in the upper class community, something we can call for the Brahman syndrome. Even though they are not pure devotee, they carry these egos and they are the one causing most of this problem in this, in the modern society. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is true. If anybody is a pure devotee, they will come. But these are Dvijabandhus, Brahman Bandhus.
Right.
You know? They are the one creating, not the pure devotees, not the pure Brahman.
That's true. We see it in the scriptures also. Like the Kali Yuga came. What's the first symptom of Kali Yuga arriving? Anyway, maybe it's not the first symptom, but one of the first symptoms is that Sringi, this little boy, he was the son of a Brahmana, but because his father was disrespected by Maharaj Parikshit, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die. A real Brahmana has the power, you know, to, like, just by chanting mantras, he can start a fire to perform a sacrifice, and then he can perform the sacrifice so nicely that the demigods come and they partake of their portions of the sacrifice. So this is the standard in previous ages. But in this age, some of those sacrifices where they kill animals in the sacrifice, they're not to be performed because the brahmanas don't have the ability to actually make a benefit to the animals. So instead, they're committing violence. So anyway, a real brahmana also, if he curses you to die, you die. You know, he has that power, but. Not talking about by birthright, but I'm talking about by the quality of, you know, being able to concentrate and being able to have those kind of qualifications, that tejas. So this
Bhagavan Krishna, he said that, you know, chadarvarnyam maya srishtam.
He created
that, but based upon the, you know,
guna karma
vipagasi,
yeah, exactly.
You know, some quality, not by the birthright.
It's not according to your birthright. That's correct. And so we see that in the scriptures also. It came from, the corruption started from the top. Why is, you know, Hinduism a minority, you know, although we were saying earlier, Obama was on TV last night saying Happy Diwali and he had a Brahmin chanting, and that was very nice to see. But why is it that, you know, Muslims came into India and became able to propagate and get the lower class Hindus to become Muslims and things like that? Because the Brahmanas had not been able to do their duty of actually preaching and educating people and having a clear understanding of the whole meaning of Vedic scripture.
Totally, Prabhuji, the Hindus have more vast universal vision. You know, they are not to attack anybody. They are not to attack any other religion. Any religion come, it is welcome because that is the basic nature of the Hindu. Well, I don't call it the Hinduism, but the what do we call it?
Well, maybe, but, you know,
Sanatana Dharma.
Not necessarily attack, but Prabhupada established, you know, he had a very I don't want to say militant, but, you know, he would conquer, you know, he would go and convince, you know, oh, you're coming and you're saying Muhammad says this, well, why does he say that? And does he say that? Right. Lord Chaitanya also exhibited this, you know. He also says this. What about, you know, we call it apologetics, you know, the ability to establish the truth through logic and discussion and argument and so forth. And this is a quality that the Brahmins, the head of society, should have. Not just the ability to explain and be clear and to be able to make the truth clear, but also to be charitable. I mean, that a Brahmana receives charity from people because he's not a miser. He immediately spends it for the good of everyone in sacrifice. You may give him $100,000. He doesn't go hoard it in his bank account, but he does a big sacrifice. And so the nature of Brahminical culture is that the Brahmanas are always going and teaching, and the sannyasis are also wandering to teach for the good of everyone, to explain to them what their duty is and what the goal of life is and how they can uplift themselves and how they can be happy and peaceful. Yes. Well, as Sunny was pointing out, they're thinking, because I'm a Brahmana, I'm entitled to be respected. in a certain way. I should eat first at the sacrifice. I should be, you know, treated this way. So, I mean, I'm not an expert in the history of India. All of you know better than me the history and sociology of caste system. I don't know anything about it. I'm innocent of it. But the idea that Prabhupada explained to us, that that system became vitiated because the upper castes considered, even if they didn't have the qualities, they said, you have to respect me in the same way. So my son, even though he's not really following the regulative principles due to brahmanas, still has to be given the first portion, still has to be respected. And, you know, we hear horror stories of privileged castes hurting people of lower castes, raping women, burning villages, all these other things. I mean, there's the material world is a horrible place, and people are horrible to each other. And if, you know, the foreigners also criticize, oh, the brahmanas are did these things to the tribals or something like that. But then what did the Muslims do and what did the Christians do when they came to India? People are horrible.
We lost that dharma. That's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
That Sanatana dharma, we lost it. So the society is crippled
right.
In that sense. Because, this is not the better again because when you look, Narada is considered as a Shudramani. Vyasadeva is considered as a Shudramani. Valmiki is considered as a Shudramani. So it is not the problem that Shudra cannot do that. It was they did that. But again, you know, because of their devotion to the Bhagavan, they can do that.
So some dharma was lost because it's Kali Yuga, but it's not completely lost. And so Prabhupada has come to establish dharma, all and not just as a matter of Indian nationalism, not just Indian dharma for Indians or something like that, but actually Krishna dharma for the whole world. He said other Indians would come to the United States or to Europe as beggars, that we're a poor country, we need resources, please give us some money so that we can emulate you and have better roads and bridges and things that you have, or something like that. But Prabhupada said, I didn't come to beg for anything, I came to give something. You know, I came here to say, no, I'm reminding you of what you've forgotten. And what have you forgotten? That is God. He said he came to one airport and the interviewer said, so tell me, what have you come here to do? What is your message? He said, I've come to remind you what you've forgotten. And they said, what have you forgotten? He said, that is God. So he's establishing, no, everybody, Christians and in Europe and Muslims in Arabia and in Iran and, you know, people have some conception of God, mostly, or some conception of right behavior, dharma. But that conception is a little bit weak, a little bit fuzzy, you know. So Prabhupada came in Los Angeles. He was sitting in the, they made a garden for him, which he liked, where he liked to spend his time. And they brought some professors, different theology professors, sociology professors. Stilson Judah was a sociology professor and was friendly with Prabhupada. Brought these different professors of philosophy and things from UCLA and other places. And you can see the video. It's one of the famous videos of Prabhupada. And he's sitting in the with all the professors around. They're waiting to hear what is the Swami going to say. And he said, so I am presenting to you, here is God. This is Krishna. Why don't you accept it? And you know, they weren't expecting something like that. People are so used to the idea that you may have your conception and I have my conception. And he said, no, I know, here it's Krishna, let me now if you don't accept it, explain to me why. And they and I'll, you know, he was ready to establish for why, not because he wanted to be superior to others and be considered great and things like that, but because they need to know. You know, that's the real mood of the brahmana, is people need to know how to do things, how to do their work, how to get married, how to follow the samskaras in life, how to love Krishna, or how to at least become free from the clutches of mode of ignorance and mode of passion. So that's the real business of the real dharma of brahmanas, is to go everywhere and to help people. And that's why we go on book distribution all the time in ISKCON of Silicon Valley, where we go out and we chant the holy names. That's why the Sankirtan movement is, because somebody has to play that role in society of reminding people that wake up, life isn't only about trying to accumulate wealth and trying to enjoy the senses. Tamasir mang jyotir gama. Life is about understanding the that which is light, coming out of that darkness and ultimately loving Krishna and glorifying Krishna, and like these ladies in Hastinapur are doing. and they're seeing these other ladies, although they would be considered inauspicious by external qualification, but they're really Krishna's wives, and they're completely blessed by Krishna. And another thing is it's saying here how Krishna can expand himself. The Shruti mantra affirms that the Lord can expand himself into many. So he showed that example by expanding himself with his wives. Similarly, this is the Vedic philosophy that the absolute truth is one. So why do we see a world full of variety? Because Anandamaya Vyasat, it says in Vedanta Sutra, that nature of the truth is pleasure-seeking. And in order to enjoy pleasure, the one becomes many. Right? Krishna becomes, he divides himself eternally into Radharani and Krishna so that they can have these pastimes. And all of us, we're parts and parcels. We're little parts of Krishna. He's divided himself into many to enjoy with us and to enjoy the pastimes with us. But we've forgotten the way to enjoy. The way to enjoy is to actually be linked up in devotional service, yoga, right? To be linked up. But we've become separated like sparks separated from the fire, and we're not enjoying. So the one, Eko Bahu Shama. Where does that come from? Does anyone, Prabhupada says the Shruti mantra. One, in the beginning there was one, and then it became many. And I don't think it's in this verse book. But anyway, huh? Yeah, what is that? Eko Bahu Shama. Yes.
Sorry.
Eko Bahu Shama.
Sorry. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva.
Let there be one Shastra. Let there be one God. Yeah. Yeah, let there be one. So Prabhupada said that. Let there be one scripture for all humanity. Let there be one God. Right? Let there be one religion. Hare Krishna. Right? We don't have to be. It's not wrong. You're a Hindu. You're a Muslim. You're a Christian. That's okay. But we're all Hare Krishnas now. Right? Right? I mean, you come from this community, that community, but you accept God, right? And who is God? It's Krishna. Right? That's really God. When Jesus was saying, my Lord, Adonai, the Hebrews call him Adonai or something, but who is it? It's Krishna. He has unlimited forms, unlimited names, and all these different qualities, so we can understand him by those real qualities. So it's not that it's not a matter of this community versus that community or this country versus that community or anything like that. This is the real truth. The actual sages, the saints from any culture, they see that. Atma upamyena sarvatra samang pashati yorjuna sukang vayadi vadukang sa yogi paramomataha. The real yogis, the real sages, they see in all the diversity of all the different people and everything like that, that there's a soul there that's part of Krishna. And but because of having turned his back on Krishna, the soul having turned his back on Krishna, then he's enjoying and suffering material happiness and distress. But really there's that one spiritual nature in every being, regardless of caste, community, religion, nation, whatever. And that's the vision of those who are truly enlightened. And that's the vision of enlightened Muslims, and it's the vision of enlightened Christians, and the vision of enlightened Buddhists. It's really the vision that there's the soul inside that's experiencing happiness and distress due to accepting, identifying with material body. And it's the vision of Vyasadeva that we were just reading about, that Acharya Anartha Pasamang Shakshat, what was it? Narto pasamang sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya janato vidvangs chakre satvata sanghita. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. So it's not a matter of Indian, non-Indian, Hindu, non-Hindu, Aryan, non-Aryan, Kirata, Hunandra. But it's a matter that people are suffering. So I can't teach you about Indian history because you all know much better than I do. But Prabhupada taught the solution. It wasn't so much a matter of nationalism. But if you really want to express who's a better representative of Vedic culture, who's a better Hindu nationalist, really nationalist than Prabhupada, because he's making such a powerful propaganda for the culture of, the real culture of, the real spiritual culture of India, the essential eternal culture, Vedic culture of India, and he's able to present it correctly so that everyone can understand its universality. But not by wishy-washy, we accept everything, whatever, there are so many paths, as many minds as there are, that many paths. No, he's saying, no, here's the... I want to present it clearly. Krishna's God. Devotional service is perfection. You know, these are what the modes of nature are. This is what the jiva is. This is what prakriti is, purusha is, all this stuff. If you understand it correctly, this is a science that solves all the problems of society. And therefore, pure devotees with the great vision like Prabhupada should be the leaders. They should be given the place of prominence and be the advisors. And the kings and presidents and things should go to them and say, what should we do for the good of our people? How can we really benefit our people? And they can explain it, and they can show it. And then if you have some objection, or it doesn't seem like that's going to work, or this is my concern, you can present it logically, and he'll explain it how to work. And in that way, Prabhupada can lead the whole world to the ultimate goal of life, to the highest benefit of life, which is love of Krishna.
If like that Mahatma's coming like that is to repositioning the dharma, and it happened time to time.
Yeah.
You know, if you look in the past.
Dharmasya glani bhavati putanam dharmasya.
To remembering us, you know, to go back to the right way.
Yeah, so from time to time, the dharma gets lost, and then Krishna, sometimes he appears personally in scheduled incarnations, sometimes he sends empowered devotees. And also these devotees like Jesus and Muhammad were also very, very powerful. They changed the world and made people at least, you know, follow some path of dharma. They also what happens is people identify, oh, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim, I'm a this, I'm a that, and they, for the sake of their program of, well, we want to make everyone Hindu, we want to make everyone Muslim, we want to make everyone Christian or Jewish or whatever. Although Hindus and Jews historically haven't asserted themselves as proselytizers, that we want to make the world this or that. You know, you were pointing that out before, that, but... Nilesh, you have something?
Yeah, I was thinking that, as you were saying, that Jesus and Muhammad were actually empowered devotees. And
Prabhupada is saying that.
Yeah, so that means it was sanctioned by Krishna, and he wanted to establish Christian religion or whatever, Muhammad religion, for a particular section of the society. So all the religions are sanctioned by the Lord, and in one sense, like,
Buddhism also was Buddha is an avatar.
Yeah. So in one sense, like he wants a different religion, but all should culminate into the absolute truth, which is Krishna consciousness. Like
They're not really so different.
Yeah.
If you look at what the essence is, like the essence of Islam, what is it? It's that God is the supreme person, and we all have to surrender to him and do what he wants, right? And there's all different kinds of Muslim, you know, different groups and sects and different versions of that. And of course, in India, it's been influenced by Hinduism as well. You know, they have. But and the Christianity, you know, when I see, I mean, because I come from a society and a tradition and a background that's mostly Christian, and I see what is this Christianity. But having become a devotee of Krishna, I all see it in relation to devotional service, and it seems, you know, there's a lot of points that the Catholic Church and that the Christian and that the Orthodox Christians, maybe even especially the Orthodox, you know, Christians in Syria and in Greece and things like that, have this sense of, you know, spiritual life, and we're not these bodies. There's a sense that we should deny the body. I mean, they have some different misconceptions because it's not very clear. You know, their scriptures aren't very clear, like Srimad Bhagavatam and complete. But they have the basic idea that, you know, love and devotion is a saintly, holy thing. And they have saints who have, by practicing love and devotion, they start to exhibit the qualities of Vaishnavas, like peacefulness and tolerance and simplicity. And all those qualities, the Daivi Sampat that Krishna describes in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, what is dear to him? Those who become my devotees, and how do they behave? They're kind to all living entities. They see everyone equally. They tolerate happiness and distress and heat and cold. They're equipoised. They control their senses. They're not engaged in Sanskrit. They're constantly remembering me. All those kind of qualities can be found in saints from other traditions. Now, if they want to understand why those qualities are so wonderful and what, you know, and what, I mean, it seems to me there's these different rasas, and the neutrality rasa, shanta rasa, you know, one is still a devotee, but one doesn't have, it's not very active in terms of one's relationship with the Godhead in an active mood of service or a loving relationship. And it seems to me that mostly, because they don't have a very clear description of the personality of Godhead, his forms, his names and things. Although what the Christians do is, well, they have the, Jesus, you know, like they have the devotee and they understand something that the guru is also the same as God, you know. So they accept that that Jesus is God, and they have a personal relationship with the person, Jesus, and so they have that. And you can have some servitorship there with the spiritual master, you know. But and there are mystic groups that have that talk about loving God as their husband, and you know, the nuns think of Jesus as their husband, I guess. The Christian nuns think of Jesus as their husband. But there are also Christian mystic, male mystics, who also aspire to love Jesus as in a conjugal way, as if they were wives. I don't know much about it. I don't understand it. But brides of Christ. But the idea is that really God is Krishna. You know, Jesus was an example. He never said he was the Supreme Personality of God. He never said, I'm the Supreme Enjoyer.
You're always talking about the Father and the Eternal Father.
Right.
That's what he was talking
about. So he was talking about Krishna. Krishna is the Eternal Father. Vishnu, he's the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices, the controller of all demigods, of all planets, and the dearmost friend of everyone. And these other rasas become much more in the Vaishnava sects that know about devotional service in these more complete rasas, that one actually enters into the association of Krishna and becomes his servant, you know, drives his chariot or gets his horses and brings his shoes in the morning for him and becomes his friend and wrestles with him and goes and warns him, oh, we shouldn't go there, that might, you know, or whatever, you know, or becomes his parent and thinks, you know, that I have to discipline him to make him a good person and things. These moods are there, and the mood of the gopis, Nija Rupataya Kalabhi, we were reading from the Brahma Samhita, about the gopis and their mood of loving Krishna, even in this unrestrained way of being above the rules of morality, and what that really means, and how it's only manifested in the eternal, in the visible plane one way, and in the invisible eternal plane is completely pure. It's always completely pure, but it may be seen by impure people without a complete vision, without a complete way. So that's being explained by Lord Chaitanya. You know, the whole thing is being explained by Lord Chaitanya and by his disciples, the six Goswamis, you know, and Krishna Das Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. And we have all these wonderful books, and now Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's books are there to really explain everything to everyone and uplift all society, so we can all become wives of Krishna or friends of Krishna or parents of Krishna or servants of Krishna or just saintly, peaceful people in our way to surrender to Krishna completely in those moods. So this is the real, like you were saying, let there be one religion, let there be one. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva Paro Dharmo, Vasudeva Paragatihi, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriyaha, Vasudeva Parang Jnanam, Vasudeva Parang Tapaha. So, let there be one religion, that everything is Krishna, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And what does someone who knows that do? Prapadyate, right? Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So Krishna's everything, he's one, but because he's full of mood of enjoyment, he's expanded himself into so many millions and millions of living entities and varieties by his energies. He's creating the background in which the pastimes of enjoyment can go on. And we are those parts of him that are meant to enjoy that way by being his servants. And our eternal Sanatan Dharma, our actual eternal essential quality is that we're his servants. Jivera Shurupoi Krishnara Nityadas. And that's our religion, that we're servants of Krishna. We're Hare Krishna people. They call us Hare Krishna people. Harijanas. That's what we are. That's what we hope to become. And if we And if we don't surrender to Krishna, then we're liable to be, caught back in the struggle. One life will be from this kind of family, another life will be from the enemy of that kind of family, and we'll be struggling. It's getting long. It's getting late. We have to do Guru Puja. I am taking the pujaris, Chaitanya Lila Shachi Mata and Korangi. We had a party. I wasn't able to come. Did anybody come on Wednesday night for the going away party? So I'm taking them to the airport today. If I can't fit all of their luggage, we're going to try to fit everything in the SUV that I brought. If I can't fit it all, I need a volunteer to go to the San Jose airport with us. So if anybody wants to volunteer, let me know. And so we'll need someone to come behind and take that stuff. So I'm going to, their plane leaves at 1, but they want to get their seats and everything. Okay, Jai, Sunny. We'll see. We may not need it, you know. So any further comments or questions? Yes. What's your name, Prabhu?
Myself is Rajesh Ganatra.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming Rajesh. From Rajkot, Gujarat.
Okay.
Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj.
The elderly Mahavishnu. Yeah. I think it's coming from here.
Yeah. Mahavishnu Goswami is telling this. Hello. Yeah, Hare Krishna. So Maharaj is telling it's Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. So in this sloka, it's not Eko Devo Krishna. It's Devaki Putra Eva. Mother knows his son. So that's why Devaki Putra Eva. No else. Krishna. So Devaki Putra Eva. So Maharaj is very elaborately telling. And in narratively, he is telling this MSc. MSc is in our degree, actually. It's a post-graduation degree. Master of Science. MSc is a degree. So MSc is a short form. M is merciful to all living beings. S for satisfaction in all conditions. And C for control over senses. So in shortly, we have to remember this MSc. So that's what Maharaj is telling repeatedly.
The real MSc.
MSc, yeah.